This week, October 10th to October 17th, is OCD Awareness Week, as announced by the International Obsessive Compulsive Disorder Foundation, or IOCDF. This event has been established by the IOCDF organization to raise awareness of this mental illness. And to discuss OCD, I'm speaking with Tammy Puschlar, a licensed clinical social worker with the practice called Emerge, a group of licensed mental health professionals based in Ithaca, and she works with adolescents and adults. And Tammy, thanks for speaking with me today.
You're welcome.
To start off, why do you think that the International OCD Foundation established the OCD Awareness Week?
It's important to help bring about awareness of different mental illnesses that are that individuals are inflicted with on a daily basis. And obsessive compulsive disorder is an illness that affects 1 out of 40 adults and 1 out of 100 adolescents.
Can you describe the condition? When people say they are so OCD because they like to arrange their closet very neatly, is that different from a person who has been diagnosed with the mental illness OCD?
Yes, it is very different. We often, that's quite a term, OCD. I'm so OCD. I hear that quite often amongst, and I often sometimes use it myself. And when they say I'm so OCD, is that they want things in an orderly fashion. But when someone is officially diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder through the DSM-5, which is Diagnostic Statistical Manual 5, you have to have certain symptoms in order to have that diagnosis, that official diagnosis. The first part is of obsessive compulsive disorder is the obsessions. The obsessions are unwanted and intrusive thoughts that a person cannot get out of their head. And in order to get the obsessions out of their head, they have to do these compulsions, which are ritualistic behaviors or routines. And when they perform these behaviors or routines, their anxiety decreases. This obsessive compulsive disorder also has to interfere with a person's daily living, so their ability to go to school, work, perform daily tasks at home, and they feel that they, and these individuals know that these thoughts are irrational, but they feel powerless to it.
And can you give an example of an obsessive thought?
So if a person, a typical one that people know about are people who are concerned about getting sick or getting contaminated. So they feel like if they touch a door handle that they're going to get ill. So what they may do is right afterwards they will wash their hands compulsively, and that by washing their hands they feel their anxiety decreases after they touch a doorknob or any other public places.
And does it decrease?
Well, it decreases for a little bit, and then it right back. You know, if you think about germs, you know, germs are everywhere. So people with the germ concern, contamination concern, well, often you'll see those people with, like, chapped hands. So it decreases for a little bit.
And what about a less frequent obsessive thought that people might have?
Some other obsessive thoughts that people have are the fear of harm or illness to themselves or a loved one. So they these will often check and recheck stoves, doorknobs to make sure that the doors are locked. Another obsessive thought are that numbers are magical. And so they have this, they count and they do touching, so that if they open a door, they have to open, you know, turn the doorknob a certain amount of times, or if they're walking down the street, they have to walk a certain number on one side and the other side, going back and forth through a doorway. They maybe avoid certain numbers because certain numbers are unlucky. Another one is that's really something you might not hear about a lot. People have obsessive thoughts about religious or moral values. So you may see them having a hard time telling a lie or avoiding answering questions. They always are looking for reassurance because they're thinking that they're doing something wrong based on specific religions and moral values.
And when are people most often diagnosed with OCD, and how are they diagnosed? I heard you mention DSM-5, mm-hmm. but what is that?
Okay.
That's a lot of questions.
It is a lot. That's fine. The median age is 19 that's a median, that's the middle age. So someone can be diagnosed throughout. Often symptoms start at in childhood. If someone doesn't receive treatment early on, you know, they may be diagnosed later. So how do you get a diagnosis? So many people probably at first see their general practitioner and talk about some of these obsessive thoughts and these compulsions. Your general practitioner may end up referring you to a counselor, a mental health professional, or a psychiatrist. Another, you know, sometimes people are just going themselves to a mental health professional because they have these intrusive thoughts and compulsions that are getting away with their daily life, so they may end up seeking out their own help. And the DSM-5 now, Diagnostic Statistical Manual, is a manual developed by psychologists where they look at list of symptoms, and based on lists of symptoms, they give you a person a diagnosis. Obsessive compulsive disorder used to be in the umbrella under the DSM-4 under the anxiety disorders, but now under the DSM-5, the new change to the DSM-5 is that obsessive compulsive disorder has its own chapter in DSM-5.
I know that some of the people that you work with in your practice are adolescents, mm-hmm. or children. When they come in, how do you work with them?
So at first, you know, I do a general interview of what are their obsessive thoughts, you know, and what are their compulsions. So, you know, you do a general assessment of their needs, and you developed a goal around, most often with people obsessive compulsive disorder, want to stop doing the routine behaviors. So there's different types of treatment. The first is widely known as cognitive behavioral therapy, which is helping individuals look at their thoughts and look at how their thoughts are connected to their feelings and their behaviors. And you help them problem solve by developing strategies and looking at their unhelpful thinking patterns. So that's called CBT, that's one way. Another one is called exposure response prevention therapy. And exposure response prevention therapy is a behavioral therapy technique which it also looks at the person's compulsions and obsessions. And you help the people develop some relaxation strategies. And so when they have developed a bunch of tools in their toolbox to get relaxed and to lower their anxiety, you help them confront their fears. So they confront their obsessive thoughts. So for example, if they have a difficult time, so every time they touch a doorknob, they have the compulsion to wash their hands, you're going to have them touch the doorknob and they're not going to wash their hands. And instead of doing that, they're going to use the relaxation strategies, the stress management strategies that you taught them. And after they do this for over and over time, they're going to discontinue the need to go, the compulsions are going to hopefully decrease, and the obsessive thoughts are going to also decrease in relationship.
And so if you have children or adolescents coming in who are dealing with their OCD outside, you know, your practice, mm-hmm. at home and with their friends and at school, how do you help them navigate those different places?
Okay. School is, you know, one thing is it can be challenging for individuals, adolescents and children who have OCD, because quite often the schools are not aware of what it may look like when a student is struggling with OCD in their school. They may often think that they're avoiding, they're being lazy, they're daydreaming. They don't understand how this can get in the way of their everyday school. So what I do is I help empower the student and the family to help them have a voice in the school by talking to the school counselor, connecting with the school social worker, and developing a plan around the student's needs. What I think, just in general, by providing education to the school about what's really happening, so they can have awareness, so they can help with conjunction with the family develop a plan. And sometimes it's all that's needed is minor adjustments, but if they need some more intense adjustments, there is options for families and students, such as a 504 plan, which can provide some modifications to the school's, the student's programming, not the programming, but the student's workload or the student's giving them some extra support. And if they need more support, they have individualized education plans called IEPs, where the school can do more modifications to the student's programming.
And do you think that local schools are fairly aware of OCD as a mental illness that their students might have?
Yeah, there's a lot of great programs around Tompkins County and the schools. There's a lot of, I think once they're aware of that's what the student is dealing with, they're very responsive. I would like to talk about Collaborative Solutions Network, which is a website called www.collaborativesolutionsnetwork.org. And on that website is a host of information for professionals, families, and children, and a lot of the local schools use that website, and it talks about different mental illness and different referrals to different programs in the county, and just general support for families and children who are struggling with mental health issues, including OCD.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, because I was going to ask what you think a person should do if they think that they have OCD.
If this person's an adult, I would recommend, if this is something that's getting in the way, I would recommend connecting with a therapist. And sometimes it's very difficult to find. I find out in this county that a lot of therapists are full. And so I would, Psychology Today has on their website, if you put in Ithaca, New York, and they list all the a lot of therapists in the community, and they talk about which where they specialized. And you have two clinics in the community, Family and Children's Services and Tompkins County Mental Health. And you could also contact your local insurance provider and see who they contract with. If you have a adolescent who's struggling with that, in addition to looking at these resources, I would contact your school. Often your school social worker or psychologist is aware of professionals in the area that work with adolescents and children.
If people want to find out more, they can also go to www.iocdf.org. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to link to some of the websites that you just mentioned on the WRFI website. And so, Tammy Pushlar, licensed clinical social worker, thanks for talking with me today about OCD Awareness Week.
Thank you.